Welcome to The Wheel Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 9 and 10 of A Crown of Swords, A Pair of Silver Pike, and Unseen Eyes. Enjoy!
Yeah, so announcements. We had Water Fortune last Saturday. It was a fantastic time. If you missed it, go back and check it out. We had the lovely ladies from North Harbor podcast on, so it was a good time. And also, as we keep on doing the Water Fortune, it's not just for content creators. I mean, the first one we ever did, we had some people from our Discord come on and play. I'm not opposed to letting just anyone that wants to join in on that, join in on Water Fortune. It's Wheel of Fortune, Wheel of Time themed. So check it out. There is on both our Facebook page and our Twitter page. I'll put it on Discord too. I'll put it there. There's an interest form that you can fill out. That's a Google form saying, hey, I'm interested in being a contestant. And you too could be possibly, if we select you, on Water Fortune. Do it once a month. We'll do it again next month. Other news. You guys are almost done with the next part of Cosmere that we're going to do. I know both of you like
chapter 24, 25, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
we're stopping at 30.
Chris is at 30. So we're going to be recording that soonish.
So finish chapter 29 and then
finish
stop,
30.
Or,
finish
right, 30. I get to finish 30.
Yeah, okay. Finish 30. Yeah, just finish 30. 30.
Rounded off.
I don't even know what happens in that chapter. It's not like a set stopping point. Like, oh, this happened. It's a good stopping point. It's just like it's halfway.
I hope it's a like massive cliffhanger, and then you make me wait a month before we record. I will lose my mind.
It's just halfway. So I don't. Like I said, I don't know. And then I thought about we need to do a reaction video too sometime coming up soon. So I'm gonna schedule that for our patrons. I just need to find a good episode or good chapters to do.
Thankfully, not this one.
Yeah. Maybe next week. I don't know. We'll see. And then we got some guests lined up for the end of the month. So on the last Tuesday, I think it's the 31st, we have guests coming on. And it's a highly anticipated guest. Not really sure if I'm ready to announce it quite yet. But just keep in mind it's gonna be exciting. It's kind of a big deal, at least for us, because it's the collab I thought would never happen that's happening. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'll leave it at that. So that's it for announcements for right now. We still have some giveaways. You guys, like last week, you guys were supposed to email me like your New Year's resolutions to win a book, and no one did. So it saves me money. So you really just had to send an email to thewheelreads@gmail.com, and you could write anything you wanted. And if anyone had wrote anything at this point, you would have gotten a free hardcover copy of a Wheel of Time book of your choice. And no one completed the assignment.
And for Final Jeopardy, write a number. Any number will do.
You could have said, this is my near resolution. It's nothing. And I would have gave you a book. Because at this point, nobody responded.
Well, careful what you promised on air, because technically everyone sent you nothing.
Okay.
That's a lot of book selling.
Only one person gets it. I was going to judge, but unless it's my spam folder.
Oh, that'd be even better.
That'd be even better if it is.
There's like 30 of them in there, and you just called everybody out.
No, there's nothing in spam. Okay. There is.
It's about time that email died, though. I'm on the third Gmail account I started because it was impossible to like unsubscribe from stuff on the other two. And even now this one is and I don't give it out, but I get so much crap now. Email's annoying.
Email is annoying. I spend half the day just unscribing to all the junk mail I get, like unsubscribe, report a spam.
We're now going to revert back to if you and I don't talk in person, then just don't count on the conversation happening. Don't call me. Don't text me. Don't email me. I don't respond to any of those.
No, you really don't. Like, I sent you a Facebook message tonight, like, dude, are you on for tonight? Crickets. I sent you a text message. Crickets.
2 hours later.
I called you. I was like, dude, are you on tonight? I was like, oh yeah, I played Fortnite. I can't talk right now. But I'm good.
Bro, multiple duos victories tonight. Crushing it.
I have Fortnite on my Xbox. I don't think I've ever played it. I just downloaded it and I was like, nah.
They dropped a new AR for this season. They got the 3-round burst one, and
you can get Kelsier skin, Mistborn.
I don't pay for skins. I play, so any of y'all that play Fortnite out there, I mean, that is pretty cool. I play default everything, and I just think it's hilarious. And I insist that when my kids play with me, they have to go full default, and we'll just go around in a group of four defaults, goofing off, riding motorcycles, jumping on stuff. Then people come up like, this will be easy kill. And my kids are way better than I am, and I'm pretty good. And then we just destroy people. They're like, what just happened?
I used to do that with Sea of Thieves, because when the game first came out, like, it took forever to get to, like, what's called Pirate Legend, like, where you unlock all this crazy stuff and everything like that as a pirate. And you get all special name tags and special gear and everything like that. And I would log on, even though I was a Pirate Legend, as, like, just, like, the bear skins. Like the brand new player.
Yeah, right. Just like, people are like, this will be easy. Wait, what just happened?
Like, yeah, it just skins. Anyway.
Why am I getting flayed? I did not see that happen.
Yeah, I haven't played the game forever though. But yeah, it takes too long to play. It's a fun game. If you guys ever played Sea of Thieves, it's a lot of fun. It just takes way too long. So anyway.
If we ever COVID lockdown again, get you that game.
So my mom, my grandma play Sea of Thieves all the time. Thanks. I think he's broke in.
I choked on my wine. Wait, put that back up again. That's the best dig ever. Hey, Althor's taint gets the book. Althor's taint, you get the book, and Alan's paying for it. All right, you guys link up in each other's DMs.
I got someone that actually sent a email just now. Oh, got an email. I resolved to stop making useless resolutions.
Oh, that's quality. Yeah,
that's quality. All right. Awesome. Well, fair. I'll send two books out. Althor's taint and Kevin, you're getting a book too. So there you go. Two people get books.
Better. It'd be even better if Althor's taint was not trying to make a joke, but just stating a fact. Yeah. Either way, it's hilarious.
Either way, you win. You win a book. Yeah. I'll send one out. I'll DM you afterwards. Just look for DMs or send me Althor's taint. Send me an email so I know how to contact you. Because it doesn't tell me on YouTube. So you still have to send an email or Discord, so wherever. Good. Send me a message. Yeah. This is derailing really fast. We're stalling for Chris. Personal life. What's going on in my personal world? When it rains, it pours. So we've been trying to renovate our house and, like, do a bunch of stuff. And the whole humidifier situation where the internet was going out, we spent way more money than we should have on that. And then it doesn't work. So we had them come back out with electricians, and they're like, yeah, we just need to install a new breaker on your box, a new circuit breaker. And they go into the house and come back up and like, you are so out of code. This is a fire hazard. Like, we can't legally work on this. Like,
yeah,
like, I was like,
that happens. Okay.
So they're like, yeah, whoever did this, like, it was an amateur, just threw stuff together in the back there, and it's bad. So we'll have to schedule a whole day to come out and fix everything for you. They give us a big discount for it. They're not going to charge us a lot, but it's still, it's just a pain because we've spent all this money and we still have nothing to show for it. But that's life. C'est la vie. But, you know, anyway. So we have that going for us. I bought plane tickets to Florida next month with the kids. So they're going to take their first plane ride. So I talked about last week, but I finally bought the tickets. So that's going for me. And then other than that, nothing else really going on. My world's pretty quiet right now. Getting ready for the craziness. It's February. I have two kids' birthdays in February. So
February.
Yeah. One of my kids shares a birthday with Ian. So yeah. So I can't forget Ian's birthday now, because then I forget my kid's birthday.
Never.
Never. Never.
And that whole first week, first 2 weeks of February, but first week especially, even within our Discord, we've got a lot of awesome February birthdays. So it's a great month to celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jordan Kahn, still trying to come up with an idea for Frosty Mugs. So if you're going to Jordan Kahn this year, that's the last announcement. Be on the lookout for me because I am going to be giving away Frosty Mugs at Jordan Kahn. If you didn't know, at the Watt Holiday thing we did, charity stream we did last month with Malcure Talks, I happened to win 8 Frosty Mugs of my choice, so I could choose any content creator Frosty Mugs. And I don't really need 8 Frosty Mugs. I don't know where to put them. And my wife doesn't really want them either. I decided to get 8 of mine. I just got 8 yes! Reed's mugs. And I'm going to bring them to JordanCon and going to be giving them away randomly at JordanCon. So there's going to be 8 of them. I haven't decided what I'm doing yet to give them away. I've thought about a couple ideas. And every single idea I've had, my mods have shot down, say it's a horrible idea. So I want it to be kind of epic.
Do Chris and I get at least 1 to give away at our own discretion?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm giving you guys ribbons to give away too.
Good.
You can get ribbons. But so I thought about doing like hurricane shots, which I said is a little too aggressive, especially water people's faces and stuff like that.
Have them sign a waiver.
I thought about, it's consensual. Like if you want the bug, you agree to do this. I'll tell you before what you're going to get.
I'll show you a video of what it's going to be like.
Like, yeah. Do you still want it? Let's do it. The other one I thought of doing is it's elevator roulette. But then they said, you know, there's only 2 elevators in the whole hotel and they're already backed up anyway. So that would be kind of an asshole thing to do. And if you don't know what elevator roulette is, it's just you get on the elevator and just flick off the door. And if it opens up to a random person, you're flicking them off, and I'll just video it and make a TikTok out of it, which would be hilarious. But people are like, yeah. Well, the hotel might complain, and blah. I was like, I don't care. that doesn't bother, but I don't want to be just not considerate to other people there. So if that's your reasoning, then sure. If the hotel getting upset with me is your reasoning, that's not a good enough reason for me not to do something.
they're making money off this.
That's not a good enough reason at all. Offending someone, not really. Holding up the line, the elevator, yeah, that's kind of annoying. I don't want to be that guy. So I'll think of something. We'll get some. We'll come up with some cool ideas. And we'll give away Frosty Mugs. So be a lookout that for Jordan Kahn. Get first time reader pageant sashes for Ian and Chris for Jordan Kahn. That's a good idea.
But we need them ahead of time so we can like bedazzle them.
Yeah. Gotta make them all blinged out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With some lights on there, a little battery pack.
Yeah. I'm always, and yes, I'm always throwing shades at you and me. She's one of her mods. always throwing shade. I love you guys. You guys do an awesome job. Watch mods. But yeah, so, but you guys do a great job. And you guys keep me in check from doing dumb stuff that like, I don't know, right, which is awesome in hotels and stupid stuff like that.
Yeah. They're doing their job. Y'all are great.
I've been rambling enough. Ian, what's going on in your personal life?
Well, for anybody out there that's priced out good electrical work, and that's part of what I do for my job. Like I feel like I can't complain about anything I have going on recently. I know you didn't say a price tag, but boy, was my brain already coming up with numbers. And God bless you, man. You'll get through it. It'll be all right.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Yeah. Anywho, so keeping it positive, that limits what I have to say. Still working, doing that 9 to 5. I guess what's more depressing now is being the second week into it. Like I'm already feel myself getting used to the routine and seeing how it's all going to work out. And, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm not excited about that. I was really enjoying the not working thing. So, yeah. I signed River, my 13, almost 14-year-old up for drum lessons, but I did it at the School of Rock. So they do one-on-one lessons, but then they also have to get into a group of their peers about the same skill level, same age group. And everybody plays a different instrument and they learn actual songs together. And at the end of a few month period, they perform together. So at one of the local breweries here, River is performing in 2 weeks. And the other night, I sent you guys a video. The other night, we got a bass. I finally ordered one. It came in. I learned one song, did a horrible job on it. Don't judge me. It was literally 5 minutes into playing it. And then River just starts playing the drums along with it and plays it flawlessly. Like, if y'all go back and listen to that video, you'll realize the drums were on point. Everybody else was struggling. So super proud of that guy. Super excited for the concert.
You remind me so much of every unemployed person I've ever met. Like, dude, I'm unemployed, but I just bought a sweet bass.
I got a sweet bass.
Like, what?
Here's the thing about good credit. They look in the past. There's no way for them to look forward. So they don't know that I don't have a paycheck coming for 2 months, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, you got a financing option? They're like, oh yeah, Mr. Harris, you got great credit. We'll just ship them out now. And you know, you make your first payment next month. I was like, yeah, I will.
Suckers. mail. I bet that shit will bounce. Yes, it will.
That's why the kids were like, Dad, normally Christmas presents, you're like, you know, leave them here at the house. And this year I was like, no, take it back to your mom's. They won't find them there.
No, we don't need to go find me.
No, I'm good.
No. It's not that bad.
I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad.
I joke about it. Yeah. I mean, nobody would want to go like month and a half, 2 months without a paycheck. But I'm not a total
financially. I don't want to go a week without a paycheck.
Right.
And we have to do that every paycheck.
Right. And I should say, if anybody's out there feeling really bad, like my concerns, it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm at absolute zero. What do I do? It's I'm at zero. But what that means is I don't want to tap into what was meant for long-term savings. So yes, I'm fine. I just had to tap into that a little bit to make this work. So whatever. Kids are getting fed. Everybody's all right.
And eventually he'll get a bomb ass check to make up.
Right. Yeah. And that, that one apparently the, when they fix everything check is they're saying like February ish now. So whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that'll happen.
Chris, what's up with you? What's going on? Personal life.
I mean, personal life, my personal life is great. Like literally have been still training at the job, learning how to be a relationship banker and all that the marriage ins and outs. And, you know, marriage is great. You know, we just have a great time. But my life would be so much easier if other people just listened. I had this issue, if people can't tell.
Sorry, what were you talking about?
Exactly. Blatant ignorance or the unwillingness to take good advice. So for those that don't know, you know, I have three nephews, one of which will be graduating high school in June. I have literally done everything I can for this boy. I mean, from the day he was born, I was the second person to hold him, and I have literally guided him through every walk of life, trying to give him the one up that we did not have. And you know, I have been semi-successful in allowing him to have a childhood, but then also attempting to impress upon him the importance of getting shit done. As he's gotten into his teenage years and his dad wants to have a greater voice in his life, that has fallen off, and the boy does not listen so well. And you know, his dad is who he is and does what he does, and his dad's not the greatest, but you can't tell us a boy that. You can't tell a boy, you know, your dad sucks at life. You can. It's just not great. Like,
I guess that can go over well.
It's not going to go over well. And it's one of these situations where he knows his dad did not meet his fullest potential, but all boys typically tend to idolize their dad, you know, and idolizing for the good or for the bad. So the boy now decides he wants to go to college after we've been talking about college preparedness since he was four. And, you know, life preparedness in general, I've been trying to get him since his sophomore year to get a job and to be more engaged in the community. And all he wants to do is play football. And I'm like, football's not the way. Well, my dad said, okay, keep listening to your dad. Here we are. We have 5 months until school ends. And now he's scrambling because he hasn't put in a single scholarship because he's thinking that some college is going to come grab him up because he's an okay football player. Okay being the keyword. You're not phenomenal. I love you to death. You're a physical beast. Like, you have no choice not to be. You're, you know, halfway through your 17th year. You're 6'6". You're 240 pounds. Like, yeah, you are a...
Hey, Pitt, if you're listening, give him a call.
You are physically a monster, but you have not put in the work or the effort to be a beast.
Practice? Practice? Practice.
I know.
Are we talking about practice?
Let's go see what AI has to say about practice.
If he was that physically and mentally talented, then I wouldn't say a word to him. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, he'll practice. He won't hit the weight room. Will not get stronger. So it shows on when he shows up on the football field. He knows the plays. He runs the routes. He hits hard. But then you got a boy his same size, even a little bit shorter, but a whole hell of a lot stronger, he gets locked up. So there's no colleges. The colleges that have come after him are D3 or D2. So he's not getting the scholarships to go to school. Maybe a 50% from a D2, but they're out in Missouri. Like, it's $60,000 for a 4-year schooling. They're going to give you 30. And then after your Pell Grants and everything hit, you still owe 20K. And that's at best if you continue to have your scholarship, all this crap anyway.
Yeah.
So today, like, we find out last week that some of the local HBCUs are giving the first year college away for free. And there's a couple on his list that he wants to go to. Norfolk State is one of them. And they're giving away a year free. And he could, you know, commute and everything. So I'm like, all right, let's get in there and get some stuff done.
Yeah.
He literally has everything that I've told him to do in the last year and a half, he's not done at all.
There's so many scholarships out there that, like, there's no one knows about. I wish there's, like, a centralized place that, like, shows you where to go. Cause, like, I know for a fact there's a group that I used to be a nonprofit that I used to be involved with, and we gave out, you know, it wasn't a big scholarship, but we gave a scholarship every year to, like, local high school students. Yeah. And like, we gave out two scholarships. They're like $5,000 scholarships, but it was like a free $5,000 that you could get or something like that. And it
five
was
grand plus.
And we'd always have maybe one or two kids apply. And they, like, literally you could write not even legible your name on a piece of paper and submit it in, and you would have got $5,000 because you've been the only one that applied for a scholarship. Like, it was money that we got allocated for it.
With the Pell Grant that he's eligible for, that would pay for the year. $5,000 plus his Pell Grant pays for the year.
Right.
Everything. Room and board, tuition, all of it.
Yeah. There's so many, like, nonprofits that do that kind of stuff, and, like, literally no one applies for them. So, like, if you just wrote your name on a piece of paper, like, you get $5,000. Here you go.
And again, between his dad and his mom, they're like, you know, we want you to be less involved. We think you're too involved. You're telling him what to do. You're trying to control his life. Great. Okay, cool. I left it alone since the last year and a half I've been in Charlotte. So I just kind of, when you need me, I'm here. You know how to contact me here. What is what you need to do? Get it done. Has only taken his SAT once, and he got an 800.
Yeah, me too.
An 800?
In math.
Out of 1600. His total score was 800. On his SAT.
Total.
Total score. Total.
Was 800.
Oh.
Total score. Was it 800? And I told him, like, you could take it as many times as you can get into the building, and they take the highest of the scores and put them together. So take it many times. Like, all these things I've been coaching him through, you know, apply to colleges early, go to the college visits, call the coaches. Nothing.
Bro.
Nothing.
All right. I'll tell you what. I hate when people tell a story and it's meaningful and somebody follows up with, I know just what that's like, but it makes me think. This has been the biggest struggle with my older two kids. My oldest very much kind of sided with mom post-divorce and got to a point where she just wouldn't talk to me at all and struggled through high school. And I mean, all I can do at a certain point was just sit back and pray that she would heed some of the advice I once gave her and make good decisions. And She's over a year out of high school and still living with her grandma and horrible with money, bank accounts constantly in the negative sort of thing, and kind of watching my next oldest kind of fall into that just same pattern. And it is it's heartbreaking.
It is.
And but it's also really unfair. And Alan, eventually we will talk about Wheel of Time. It's unfair that your high school years impact so much of the rest of your life, because at that age, you don't want to think like that. But what you do in high school, I mean, you can recover, but if you're like an A student and you're involved in the community and you do X, Y, Z, like it opens so many doors. If you don't do any of that and you wait till you're 22 to try and figure something out, it's very hard.
Yeah. He's doing
extremely hard.
He's doing these applications and he's like, Uncle Chris is asking about community organization stuff. What is that? I was like, remember how I kept telling you to go volunteer? Well, yeah.
Right.
Oh, there you go. Gosh. You remember how I told you, he's asking for a resume. You remember how I told you to get a fucking job?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Like, it is what it is, sir. This is where you're at now. I was like, and we have a plan. Like, at the end of the day, community college is great.
Sure.
It is.
And it gives you that next opportunity.
Trade schools are great. 2 years. Yeah, you go to community college for 2 years. You get a B average. You're automatically accepted into over 300 colleges in the state.
Yeah.
And they give you scholarships. There is a backup plan.
What is it? Like, I mean, apprentice school is fantastic. Like, if you can get in there, it's hard to get into.
Well, I have connections for that. Like, yeah, apprentice school.
You get paid to go there. You get paid. It doesn't cost you a dime. You get paid.
Have you seen the apartments they built down there for the apprentice school kids?
Yeah, man.
It's actually really nice.
Like, you'll come out of the apprentice school, a certified welder, a job at the shipyard, and you get paid the entire time.
Degree from the community college.
Yeah, associate's degree. It's great. Yeah. It's great. It's a great thing. Yeah.
My point wasn't there's no opportunity. From ODU,
like,
yeah, it's not like you have no opportunities if you flounder in high school. But it does get more difficult.
No, like, what kills me is I literally life
advice from the Wheel Reads.
I worked for a proprietary college. I worked for a community college. I ran my own department in the community college, and then I worked for two universities. It kills me when I'm telling you everything that you need to do, and you shit on my information, and then I'm telling you I'm busy tonight, and you are literally crying to me, and I'm like. I want to care, but I don't anymore.
This conversation is 3 years old.
And it's a good segue, Beatamon. Yeah, why are we here? We're here for Wheel of Time. So
Wheel of Time.
Let's get into it.
If y'all did not know, if you were post-COVID joining, this used to be our biggest bitch session of the week.
Yeah.
It's therapy. Therapy.
Yes. Therapy. It's therapy.
The first 45 minutes of this show.
I don't remember this crash after. All right. Well, we're on chapter. Oh, yeah. And this is, I didn't even say welcome to the Roll Reads. I was completely, yeah. Anyway, welcome. Let's get into the chapter 9 of the of A Crown of Swords. A pair of silver pike.
So, knew you had to have some swan in there.
Yeah, there's a little swan in there. But she is, I think it's actually Gwen that gets a silver pike reference.
Yes.
And to Egwene's point of view. So it starts with Egwene in her tent, waiting on Swan and Leanne to arrive to tell them that Mogedion's escaped. And yeah.
Yeah. Oopsie.
Oopsie. Yeah. Which is like, oh shit. That's not good. So it's turning into kind of like a witch hunt too. I mean, at least in Egwene's mind, at least is how I feel. And she's trying to figure out who done it. It had to be a male. You know, she's ruled out Loghain, you know, hoping that he's gone to the Black Tower. But yeah, there's worry.
We could give so many real life examples of this, but if you're reading it from the perspective of, you know, is she doing everything right? Is she doing everything she can? Like, is her logic solid? It is, but it's still only based off of what she knows and what she thinks is even possible. But then as a reader, the little bit extra we know, you're almost screaming at her like there's more to this world. There are more possibilities than you're even considering. So you're putting all this effort into trying to figure this out and you don't even know half of what's happening. Like, yeah.
Yep.
But I do give her credit. I mean, I'm not poo-pooing on Egwene, like, considering the situation, her thought process, her logic, how she's trying to problem solve, who she involves and why, it all makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's doing her best. It ain't good. It ain't gonna be good enough, but she's doing her best.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else from this whole conversation before we move to Egwene, moving on to, I guess, their new way of getting information?
Well, I mean, I
talk about failing.
The idea that a man has freed Mogadine didn't really even seem to phase Swan and Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, I think the severity of it in my mind did not come across, because they need to realize that there's either a Forsaken in their midst and they really need to figure that out, or there's a male channeler in the group.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of didn't really seem to phase them very much. And you know what they did out of necessity and keeping Mogadine or Mogadian, how you pronounce it, like, under wraps. But at the same time, they could have been a little bit better about keeping a greater watch on her. And I put quite a bit of the emphasis on Egwene kind of being lackadaisical because she didn't like the Eidom. But at the end of the day, that was a huge mistake. As a matter of fact, allowing Mogadine that much freedom, even in the camp, was stupid in my mind from the get go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about that some. Too much reliance on that Eidom that you didn't really, you assumed too much about what it could tell you, what it could do. Like, why not find a way to keep eyes on? There's got to be some excuse between the group of you that know to have somebody with eyes on at all time.
Yeah.
So that's a fatal flaw.
She was a handmaid in general. Like, she was there to serve them. So she should be at their side at all times. That would have been an easy enough thing to play off. I mean, especially with Elaine being, you know, next in line for the throne, they could have used that as an excuse to keep her by their side at all times. That's what I would have done personally. And as soon as I got as much information out of her as I could, I honestly would have stilled her.
Yeah.
I mean, that right you can still learn from her.
Right. You won't have the demonstrations, but you could still learn.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll say one thing I slightly disagree on is when it comes to their reaction to finding out the information. Especially Swan, like, he made a emphasis of talking about how she sat down with her back straight and da 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 da. And I guess in my mind, it was more of there's like a certain threshold of oh shit that you cross. Like, if it's down here and it's a little bit of oh shit, you go, oh shit. And then if it's here, you're like, oh no, oh shit. But then eventually, like, it grows to a certain point where, like, you can't scream any louder, you can't freak out anymore. It's so super serious. You're like,
we're speechless.
Yeah, speechless. And it's like, you can't, there's no way you can't wrap your mind around it. It's like when you go to get the Christmas lights out and it's in this giant ball and you know there's 16 strands in there, but you don't know which end matches to which end. You don't know where, like, how you have no idea how to figure this out.
Really good with untangling knots.
Do you know what you're doing? You throw it in a tree and you buy a blow-up snowman with a penguin and a motorcycle. And
does not work with this.
Glue a beard onto metaphor. The snowman.
No. Oh, all right, Alan, you're fired. What I was going to say is...
That's what we did.
You have to choose. You just choose to start somewhere. You grab a piece and you pull. Okay. And then you find a smaller knot that you can untangle. And eventually, as you start untangling the little things, you can...
Separate.
I still like the big blob.
We're trying to. No, Alan, we're past that. That's you're fired. I hate you know why I hate that is because I should have never asked Alan, because that is exactly what Alan would do. Alan would go, well, fuck this.
It's exactly what we did. Your mom came home from work. It's like, what the fuck is going on up in your yard? Yeah. That's exactly what we did.
Hanging next to that squirrel that had been up there for 5 years.
Oh.
Anyway.
Continuing.
I guess I should have just left it at they were speechless, Chris. I think Swan probably also knows more than the readers have been told yet. So maybe there's a part of her that's not as shocked as we were, but also I'm Jewish. I don't understand this analogy. Now, I don't assume to know like what all Jewish people do, but I do know a couple of my friends that do the blue light thing, but maybe their lights are better organized because
they're all in a row.
Because mine are in a giant ball. Because every time in January I go, well, I'll just figure this shit out next year. And then every December I go, why did I do this to myself? Anyways,
I made my wife actually put a note in our lights bin this year because normally she yells at me because I do exactly what you do. And then she yells at me the next year that I didn't, you know, put away the right way. So like we're putting away Christmas lights this year and I'm sitting inside the office, like doing all the lights. And she comes in and she's like, just shove them in there. I was like, no, because next year I'm going to yell at because I did not do it.
I didn't date it.
So she went to the other room and wrote a note saying that, like, and signed it saying, like, I told you to put them away this way. I was like, put it in the box. So we open it up next year. You're not going to gaslight me and say, like, I told you last year. Like, no, you didn't. See, look, there's the note.
November 30th of next year, y'all going to have that conversation. She's going to be like, I didn't write that. That ain't even my handwriting. You know,
the funnier thing is, it's not even going to be in there because she's going to get to it first. Yeah.
God.
She's already taking it out. Like,
you're going to be like, oh, babe, you brought the Christmas decorations down. Thank you. She's like, yeah, put them up. Meanwhile, she crinkles up the paper and throws it away.
In the fire.
Yeah. Start getting yelled at. Something I didn't even do. All right.
Anyway.
So, yeah. So, next scene, Egwene's walking past the yard where it was designated for traveling and skimming. And we learn a little bit about the difference between the two. We've seen both. And this gives a little bit more detailed description of how both work. And we've hinted at this and we've talked about a little bit how they both work and how they're two different things. You know, Rand started doing in the earlier books with skimming. So you'd build a platform and then move everybody in the platform. That's skimming. Traveling is when you open a gateway and just step through. Yeah. But you have to know where you are to travel. You have to know where you're going to skim. So you can use either one to get to where you're going. It's just,
what if you can't get there from here?
And then you got, you just get on that route over there, man. You just
get for 7-10, right, and turn that. Then you just see a big old red apple, take a right.
That question gives me the same headache that Egwene keeps suffering from.
Yep.
Which I want to know what that's all about. Like, is she about to unlock a new power? Like, I mean, we know that she's having like the weird lucid dreams that we'll get to eventually that are a little bit more than, you know, the foreseeings, but maybe she's about to unlock yet another new power. Like, or it maybe she's about tumor. To have a brain. I was about to say that tumor.
It's
aneurysm.
Not a tumor. Well, are the headaches, is there a correlation with that in the time that she's been wearing the bracelet? Hmm?
She hasn't been wearing the bracelet. If she'd been wearing it, she would have known something weird was happening.
Yeah. No, she's been wearing it since the other girls.
Barely.
This isn't a prediction, but I'll throw it out there as a possibility. Again, they don't know everything about this IDOM. Magidian is much more powerful than probably all those Sanchan channelers that were ever connected. Maybe there is some ability for there to be something transferred the other way. Maybe Magidian was doing some shit to her. It could have been, I would say it could have been at the moment she was released. Maybe the chick dude.
Yeah.
Person.
The,
did something, but I think the headache started before that. So
it did.
Yeah. So what do you think about this whole thing that, you know, obviously the Little Tower and Saladar, they've now have everyone doing traveling skimming in order to reach out to their eyes and ears network. They're basically their spy networks and get information a lot faster. And they're, you know, if they're trying to go to war with the White Tower, we're assuming that the White Tower doesn't have this knowledge yet. So this definitely gives somewhat of a leg. I mean, communication is a key in any kind of war situation, and having this ability to relay information rather than relying on birds that takes, you know, a week to get information back and forth. They can get instant information.
Alan, you're missing the biggest opportunity here. Arbitrage.
Yeah.
I mean, speed of communication. one of the biggest money heist ever is when we were across the US starting to get like high speed connections. Mm-hmm. And then between East Coast and West Coast or whatever, people that would get information faster about prices from, you know, one location to another, and they would make trades like on a massive scale for small amounts. But
so what happened? Yeah. So I can go on about that in detail, but yes, that happened. And it was, a huge heist, but at the same time, it was legal because the government forced it to be legal. The government actually, in the effort to make a law to help the little man out, they actually ended up screwing the little man over. Cause
say it ain't so.
Yeah. The government screwing people over. Yeah. So if you guys have never heard of this, what happened in the 2000s is the US government passed a new law with SEC basically for internet, for exchanges, for stock exchanges, that every stock has to be traded on every exchange. So it used to be that you're only registered within your stock exchange or NASDAQ or AMAX or whatever. And that was the only place where you could buy that stock. But then they said in an effort to try to make things more competitive and make the prices go down for the average person and lower the fees, every stock has to be listed on every exchange. Well, in the day and age of digital fiber optics, some exchanges were faster than others and get information faster than others.
Yep.
So some exchanges could get information faster than others, and then they could then route those orders into the other exchanges faster than anybody else could, basically screwed everyone else, the little guy, over. So if you were trying to buy 100 shares of IBM or Apple stock or whatever, by the time you try to buy it, someone else has already moved their orders in and snatched all the shares up for a cheaper price, and you get screwed.
Yeah.
And it sounds like little bits and pieces, but it was literally stealing about about $2 billion a month from the average consumer.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Pennies at a time. So that's what the skimming and traveling eyes that I should be doing. When they see some other poor sucker send a pigeon that says buy up some haystacks at this price, they should be like, oh shit, order coming in, let me skim over there, boop boop boop, get all the haystacks in this town.
Yep,
that's what I'd do. Forget the end of the world, screw the forsaken,
just make some money.
Make money.
My money. MOB.
There you go. Yeah. Go ahead.
We're obligated to talk about the actual book. So to answer your question, first instinct is this is great. This is a great leg up. But then there's always that little voice in the back of your head, like you need to start thinking of how this could be bad. Like what bad could come of this? And I don't have a good answer for that, but there's that voice that's saying there's going to be issues because of this. And mainly just because it's new and they don't know how to act in a world with information that comes to you this quickly, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and Egwene flexes on that too. Like, I mean, she thinks about how all the Aes Sedai here have gained so many talents that they thought were lost forever and discovered even new ones that no one even tried before. And she thought about making her feel, it should be making her feel better, but it didn't. Like, she's still nervous about all this. Like, she's like,
yeah,
something might be off about all this.
Well, there's no playbook for it.
Yeah.
Even so, she has Swan there, and you would think, okay, I got a former Amalurn that could just feed me information on what I'm supposed to do. But they're already in really new territory. Even territory that's been done before, it's been so long ago, it's still new territory. There's no playbook for everything that they're able to do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And then she also reflects on a letter she got, that was sent, about how the nobles were playing the great game and how they found a bunch of younglings, Varen, Alana. Alana was getting close to Rand and she dwelt on that for a while. Like,
is this letter old, or are they withholding information to Egwene?
So she got the letter the day they left Saladar from Sisters when they met with Rand. So yeah, it's an older, kind of older letter, but she's just reflecting on it.
Okay. Information was withheld. I mean, she,
that's what I was thinking.
She's an assumed figurehead, and now she's starting to show her ass and like, I'm ready to be who you elected me to be. And that means you're going to give me the information that I tell you to give me. Because, I mean, that was one of my favorite moments from the last chapter, was her outright telling, what's her name? That her new keeper, like,
Shirium.
No, Shirium, no daughter, you will answer me. No lies, no misconceptions, no...
The whole truth.
Yeah, the whole truth. I want it all, and I want it now. And, you know, had she not left, who knows how much more she would have figured out. Now there's going to be some type of workaround to remove some of the information somehow. You know, that was one of Swan's biggest complaints when she met back up with Egwene. And now we're sitting here, you know, she's reflecting on the traveling and the skimming. She's reflecting on the fact that she hasn't received, you know, birds from one place, but she's getting people from other places. And she's wondering, like, you know, how many has Mirana, like, had any missteps? Is there something? What is going on? What isn't she being told? You know, they try to make it seem like Rand was completely under control, and she's like, no, the way they're describing him is absolutely wrong, just based on my knowledge of him as a person in general.
Well, and based on what he's currently doing and where he is, like, that doesn't seem to match up with.
But here's the type of influence that she even admits it, but she doesn't do it. She could literally just go talk to Rand herself. Like the biggest, like, God, I wish you would just.
This could be the shortest book in the series.
Like, it's just, it kills me, because the fact that she admits it, she's like, well, I wouldn't look good if I disappeared. Just go for 20 minutes. Oh, the things you could do in 20 minutes.
Egwene marches in there. Elaine is going to be queen in Camelin. And Rand goes, yes. they both go, oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm going to be in control of them, and of the Aes Sedai, and not you. Okay.
Yes.
I just need your loyalty. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah. And we're going to march on the White Tower. Bet. Sure.
Okay. Yes. Sure.
What are we arguing about? What argument?
did we just become best friends?
I love you. They can rekindle their romance.
Richick, who's the one guy you would sleep with? John Stamos. What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't realize they recorded the Egwene and Rand getting together in a little skim fest there. They're just skimming together.
You know what would happen? They would both skim past each other. Yeah. They both travel past the other. They would never actually meet. It's just not, not the way of the wheel.
It's not in this many pages. That's
no.
Also, I mean, so Egwene doesn't realize that Alana's bonded Rand, even though it flat out pretty much said, I mean, it's just, I guess the quote was, Alana has formed an attachment with the wool merchant, which may prove useful.
And oh, too. Did she like hook up with him? I could see him doing that, but I can't see him doing it.
Are we reading into that? Maybe I'm dumb, but I gave Egwene the benefit of the doubt that
she would get that. She didn't get it.
Not
at all. She did not get it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. She thought maybe she's hooking up with Rand, and she's like, that's not good. She'll.
Oh, yeah.
He's too novice in the bedroom. He'll never be able to handle Alana.
Oh yeah, that's right. She talks about her being a green and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? That's where your mind went. Really? Mm-hmm. You are a teenager, though. We have to remember these things. Yeah. They are teenagers.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And then as she walks further, Leanne joins Egwene. She takes off her stole, and they talk for a bit.
It's like, I know what you're thinking, and you can't do it. How do you know what I'm thinking? Because I know what you're thinking, because I would do the same thing. Well, if you would both do the same thing, does that not sound like a good idea? Why wouldn't you just, as a matter of fact, send Leanne. Just send Leanne. Send Swan. I don't care. Send somebody that will get the job done. That's really all I want.
Yep. And then she talks to Swan for a bit about Gareth Bryn, and how, like, hey, you're an Aes Sedai now. You don't have to wash his clothes anymore. And she immediately, like, cuts her off. Like, no, I have to. Like, okay.
She's in love.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
See how big he's gotten.
That's what she said.
She did, actually.
Yeah.
Every night she comments on it.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah, so the Swan Gareth Brynn thing, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that that's a thing? Or do you think it's just
what's becoming a thing?
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Okay.
And I hope it becomes a thing. Okay. You know, obviously in my own personal life, I have to believe and do believe. You know, despite all the things you go through and your rises and falls and peaks and valleys in life or whatever, and all comes crashing down, there's always the opportunity to connect with another human being and find love again and all that jazz and insert sappy quotes here and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah. Question for you, and this is a deviation, but, you know, the TV show really shows one picture of Swan and Moraine. Is that really alluded to in the book? I don't feel like it was.
We haven't read that yet. Rafa.
Well, you know, because of what's going on, like, with our you know, captain here, I'm kind of like, I kind of hope it doesn't happen.
Chris, according to every girl that I knew in middle school, you could be into guys and girls. So that's possible.
Agreed. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
apparently they all gave it a whirl.
Anyway, so yeah. So yeah, that's the whole conversation with Swan with Gareth Brynn. Any thoughts on all that, or just they're going to be a couple before we get to the final confrontation where Nicola and Arena.
Yeah, that's really, I can't believe we wasted this much time. That's what this chapter is about.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
This is the juicy juice.
The two novices show up. Are they novices? Yeah, they're still novices. Yeah, they're novices. Novice.
Well, yeah. One's novice, the other's just a hunter for the horn.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
And they try to blackmail Gawain about posing, you know, how not even a Langer posing as sisters and how they're going to rat on her. And Gawain's like, bitch.
I wish you would.
I wish. So what do you think about these two characters?
She's going to be, Nicola's going to be a problem. We said that before.
Yeah.
She there's this crick in the back of my neck and like, I can't get rid of it. And I feel like the more I try, the worse it gets.
Okay.
And that's what I feel like Nicola's going to end up being at some point. She's just going to be there at the wrong moment and she's going to say the wrong thing and cause a lot of issues for no reason. And she's powerful.
Yeah, she has some talents. She can see Tavera and the foretelling.
And so, like, we realize that she's important or else she wouldn't come up so much in the book. But the fact that she tries to blackmail Egwene just irked my nerve a little bit. And if I were Egwene, I would have put her to work. Like, I'm all right. Sure, I got something for you. We're going to make sure that you definitely achieve your goal of gaining strength faster. I want you to be the most physically fit Aes Sedai we have. So you're going to go plow some fields. You're going to go cutting some trees. Like, we're just going to make you physically stronger because you didn't necessarily say what type of strength you want to gain. So I would have just been nasty.
Oh, I'll get you gains. You want gains? Mm-hmm. You'll get gains.
I'll say I started thinking, you know, damage control here. Egwene could have a very frank conversation with Swan. And again, maybe I'm ignorant to like how absolute this unspoken rule law is. You know, you don't impersonate Aes Sedai. But what if you get ahead of the story? What if she talks to Swan? Swan's like, yep, well, I could say that I flat out ordered you all to do it in order to like be incognito while you're chasing down these Black Aja sort of thing. So it's not as taboo to talk about Black Aja anymore because it's there. I mean, at this point, everybody kind of knows, or a lot of people, they recognize, they don't like talking about it, but the who's who within the Aes Sedai world, they know it's a thing. At least in the Saladar section of folks, but I don't know. I would try and get with Swan and see what story can we come up with to put out to just be ahead of it and be like, yeah, of course they acted as Aes Sedai and so did I because of XYZ and the former Omerlin ordered us. Or
I wouldn't even do that at all. At the end of the day, it's her word against mine.
Well, I mean, at the same time, you still squash her for even attempting to do that.
Say shit. Hey, Go say whatever you want. You have no witnesses.
But we're also in the mind of Egwene here. And Egwene is worried about it. And Egwene is scared of
it. Such a worry war. What happened to her being more Aes Sedai than anything, more Aiel than anything else?
Yeah. The trouble is, if it does bother you that much, if you fear it that much, then somebody could actually manipulate you if they were in the right position to use it correctly. So she
take your toe.
Yeah, take your toe.
Go on ahead and tell everybody what you did.
Pink. Oh, I thought you meant just like execute Nicolet or whatever name is in the street.
Yeah. That's it.
That'd be easier. Mm-hmm. Why'd you do that? Because I felt like it.
Yeah. So I said what I said.
About my mama. Because I ain't take no oath, Rod. Because I can. I can kill people. I don't need a reason.
Yep.
To go somewhere, but that would be too wrong. And it's too soon. And
yeah, so Egwene scolds her, and they scurry off pretty much, and that's the end of this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance Egwene cut her off too soon, and maybe she had more that she wanted to tell her?
Nah. I don't feel that way.
You just feel like it was a straight up. Let me see what I can get out of this and bribe and.
Because she wasn't even going to do it. It was her friend that really pulled the blackmail out there.
Yeah.
How do I say her name? Arena.
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 Sounds right.
You know, she was
the blackmailer.
And these two were part of the crew that showed up with Nynaeve, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Elaine. Pretty much that whole crew that escaped with them. We were very like. Suspect of.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems
the crew that had Melvin part of.
Well,
it.
Right, yeah.
So
crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't trust him.
Okay. Anything else in this chapter before we move on?
There was never anything in this chapter to begin with.
You just made it 35
minutes. All right, chapter 10, Unseen Eyes.
Unseen dun, 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 dun. Eyes. I expected more out of this chapter.
Yeah.
In the idea of like her entering into Tel Anriad and then like feeling like she's being watched, and then the unseen eyes become seen, and you know who's watching her finally. And I expected more of that, not just this.
Chris, that chapter would be called Seen Eyes. Hello.
I seen them.
No, I'll make you feel better, Chris. I'll give you a nice chuckle. My dumb butt was like, maybe when she's in Tel Anriad, Rand will just come from around some corner, be like, all right, I've been spying on you, but let's go ahead and talk. My dumb ass was hoping for that.
Too. Nope. I was hoping she would see him in one of the places she visits over there where Kalendor is, and they would have a good conversation and get on the same page. Like
he eavesdrops a bit on some conversation she has with the wise ones or whatever, and they leave and she's still there and he comes around and then boom, like they work some shit out. But no, just never. Wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, we start with a nap. Because we love naps in this
book.
But
I'm tired.
I'll take a nap. And she goes to Tel Anriad and decides to do a couple of things. I mean, she's definitely leveled up in dreamwalking. That's something that we immediately understand from this chapter.
Getting into it. She's got her method for... All right, I go to sleep normally, except for this little bit that kind of hangs on and everything else. Bing, bang, boom, I'm there. Like,
right. No way. Yeah, it's almost like she can be in like the world in between dreams and see everybody else's dreams and like pick out like little bubbles and be like, all right, that's someone else's dream. Let's go mess with that one. Let's see that one. Oh, I know who that one is. Not touching that one.
Yeah. Well, maybe I touch it a little bit. I thought it was cool. And I don't know if she's done this before, where you could just hang out outside a dream and yell into it.
Yeah.
Is this new?
This is new.
I feel like this was new.
Yeah. It's
new. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Like hey, listen,
yo mama.
Do you know? So Alan almost never sleeps. I'm almost as bad as he is, but I sleep a little bit more than him. But if we had that power, I would be fucking with people all the time. If you knew me, you'd be hosed. I'd be man. I'd be shouting the most ridiculous shit, or I'd mess with you and I would just whisper some random word. I'd whisper undulate like into your dream for a year and a half straight and then bring it up in conversation and just watch you freak out.
You'd be like the Pink Floyd of dreams. So if you ever listen to, I think it's Dark Side of the Moon, that album, there's a song called the great Gig in the Sky. And there's a part, it's a woman just like doing like crazy vocals in the entire song, and it gets quiet at one point and you have to turn it all up to hear it, but really, really quietly, they whisper into the mic. They go, "If you can hear this, you're going to die."
Oh, yeah.
You have to turn the music all the way, but like, it's in the middle of the song. It's like, if you can hear this, you're going to die.
That's the message. I don't want to turn it up.
Say, I will. I'm glad you told me that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Although, aren't we all? I mean, what kind of prophecy?
It is a great song. Thank you, Hal. Yeah, Great Gig in the Sky is a fantastic song. But it does have some little messages in it. But yeah, so she goes and warns Nynaeve, which probably freaked the crap out of Nynaeve. She's just sitting there sleeping, doing her own thing, and all of a sudden, just this voice out of nowhere goes like, "Hey, listen, we got some problems. Just be on the lookout. Okay, bye."
And she does that to both her dreams. So at least she's got some consistency. They're both going to hear the same message. They'll wake up, compare notes, and be like, okay, it was real.
Yeah.
So, hey, she's figured out how to communicate to them at least.
But then she does the same thing to Amise. And Amise just, go ahead.
Nynaeve's dream, she kind of freaks out a little bit, and there's some like crazy transition of the dream, or she left a dream quickly. Mm-hmm. Elaine was more of like a casual transition.
Nynaeve's dream because she made the mistake of entering it before.
No, and I'm saying Nynaeve's dream ended really quick, didn't it? Like after she got the message, Nynaeve left the dream, like to wake up. There was some.
She was saying that she doesn't enter Nynaeve's dream so much anymore. She stays on the perimeter because she's made mistakes before and seen things she shouldn't see. And it's kind of embarrassing when you have to wake up and face somebody after that. So, I mean, I could have missed what you're saying.
No. But so after that, after she gave the message, Jordan talks about the reaction to the message being delivered. They both got the message, but Nynaeve was kind of like, and kind of freak out. And I don't remember if he said she either woke up, Nynaeve woke up and the dream was gone, or it just changed dramatically. But Elaine's was, I should open my book up and get it more exactly. Yeah. It's in there. I promise. Read and find out, Chris.
Okay. I'll do
that. Read and find out.
So after that, she tries the same thing with Amise, but Amise just immediately answers back, which startles her. Because, you know, like, Amise knows what she's doing. So, like, it's like, hey, Amise, we need to meet. Yeah, okay, cool. Like, wait, what? Shit.
She's like, I forget that they're so skilled.
Yeah. You ever sent that you up text at 2 a.m. and they immediately answer back, yep.
Yep.
You're like, damn. Like, did you already have my text, our text open? Like,
every time you text me.
Yeah,
I get better. He's like, you up? Yeah,
I get better response rates from Alan if it's after midnight than I do anytime during the day. Yeah,
I'm busy in the day. Nighttime, I'm just sitting around, like either on my phone or just playing like Elden Ring or Minecraft or something.
Yeah,
not sleeping because I don't do that.
Amise, new phone. Who dis?
So yeah, and before she goes to the Stone of Tyr to meet with Amise, she sees Gawain's bubble start to come towards her, and she goes, "Nope, not today," and runs away. I don't need to be distracted, although I want to. Not right now. I'm busy. I need to do stuff. And she goes to the Stone of Tyr to meet with Amise, Bear, and Malayne.
And Malayne wins.
ironically prefer the Stone of Tyr, even though they don't believe in swords, nor do they have Kalendor as part of their prophecies.
Right.
Kind of funny.
Yeah. So she tells him that she's been raised to the Armlin, and all this, all the, basically is her them update. They're like,
okay, morning report.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. She tells him that, she will not bring the Aes Sedai to swear to Rand. Yeah, she's going to try to hold off on that.
But the wise ones also don't give all the information to Egwene.
No.
No.
Because now
she's an Aes Sedai, Before she was a maybe Aes Sedai, and they could have her on their team as a wise one. And now she's like the Aes Sedai of Aes Sedai. So now they have to be guarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe a little of that. I don't know.
Of course, they don't want to give too much away because they still have loyalty to Rand.
I think there's a little bit of that. I begin the feeling that there's still something left to the Aiel prophecy that they're waiting to happen.
Oh, for sure. I'm right there with you 100%.
They do. I get this vibe that they're all kind of waiting for the next thing. And of course, they're not telling anybody. They just want to see if it happens.
I mean, so much so that they still don't completely have it out for the Shido.
Like Rand. So
the Shido wise ones high respect and regard and.
Like Rand's needs and the needs of the world that Rand is fighting for and everything has still not totally broken them down.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with that.
So there is this feeling of holding out for something.
Yeah.
Watch it be Matt. Because Matt came with the Dawn also. Or wait, what time did Perrin show up to the battle to save Rand from the box? Was it Dawn? Because maybe that was the dawn.
I think it was midday.
Maybe they got their dawns mixed up.
I'm with you on the Matt thing. I had been from the beginning. Like, I feel like there's probably a little bit more to that. Because he, too, into Roydian, came with the dawn, made it out of Roydian. So he technically should be in charge of his own clan, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, there, and I agree. There's definitely something there that we just haven't been made privy to.
Something left to the prophecy. But they are, they're smart. They're not going to go, well, the next person to touch my ear is the King of Kings. And then somebody reaches out and touches the ear and goes, well, it must be you. You know, you can't say it because then you're going to have fakers, you know.
Reminds me of Life of Brian. And this I'm not the Messiah. Only the true Messiah denies that he's the Messiah. Okay. I am the Messiah. He is the Messiah.
Hey. And this is like another moment where they could communicate openly, get information across to Rand, you know, get on the same page, and yet again that ship sails.
But also, let's play devil's advocate again. Egwene has been told about the dangers of Teleram Riad. She's always talked about how she feels like, and Nynaeve used to talk about it, how they feel like they're constantly being watched while they're there, and that never goes away. Maybe it's just that, because they're in Teleron Riad, the wise ones know they have to either talk in code or be careful what they share, because they know something more of someone or something that's always watching. So maybe they're not trying to be, they're not trying to deceive Egwene. Maybe they're just trying to, you know, it's like an OPSEC thing. They're not trying to give too much info where somebody could hear. I don't know.
I mean, we know the rest of the spears of the horn are in there somewhere.
Yeah. Like I said, just trying to play a little devil's advocate. Maybe they're doing as much as they can.
Yeah. And the last thing she leaves Amys with is to not stop Mirana from talking to Rand, and also don't tell her that she's the Armlin, because he might try to come rescue her or something. And
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Don't that's, tell that's him. Worse. Don't say anything.
Right. Don't but you can't ask him to lie. It's like, just don't bring it up.
Don't save her.
I mean, this is worse than not communicating. It's intentionally not communicating important shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway. Lies by omission.
Yep.
Anyway.
He'll find out soon enough.
So anything from all the Wise One meeting before we move to all of the crazy prophecy dreams or prophetic dreams?
So even though she announces she's Armerlin, there's still some chuckling conversation about, like, girl, just come on back and be Aiel.
Yep.
Come on now. So like,
we got a husband for you. We want to help you make this marriage wreath, and you know, we want you to run naked in the desert a few more times.
Yeah. Don't go getting caught up in that. Of course, like they give that great metaphor and even show the image of, you know, whatever, trying to talk on about how she's being, right. She's being used. She's a puppet, you know, which, you know, Gawain clearly has thought about herself and she's like, yep, totally get it. Like I've got to assert myself somehow, blah, blah, blah. But still, they weren't as impressed with it that I think Egwene maybe thought they would be. They were just like, yeah okay. You want to come back and be Aiel? Because that's way cool. It'd be really cool if you did.
Not cool if you did, man.
Yeah. We could just hang out and do some Aiel shit.
Exactly.
Got some dudes that'll service you in the sweat tents.
Mm-hmm. Giggity.
Which, if you flip it, what if Jordan wrote this and was like, all right, so the wise ones are going to be like cool as shit, these badass women, but then we're also going to like give them some stereotypical dude lines. We're going to make them like men, like all this crazy shit's going on, but let's give them the stereotypical. I mean, you could like be in charge of this really important thing. Well, that's lame. Why don't you come back to the hot tub and just bang some chicks with us? Like, wait, if you flip it like that, it sounds like, I don't know.
The dude abides.
Yeah.
The dude abides.
The dude abides. And I'm not knocking the wise ones or anything. I wonder what Jordan was going for when like he kind of, I don't know. They're trying to entice, they're trying to entice Egwene with, yeah, we got pick of the litter. You can have any dude you want. Got some good ones lined up for you. Just come sweat tent with us. They'll service you. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
That's what else funny.
So, then she gets these, like I said, little prophetic dreams. First one's the one with Gawain. She stood in a vast dim chamber where everything was indistinct. Everything except Gawain slowly coming towards her, tall, beautiful man. Anyway, there's two paths that he had.
Take the one less traveled. That's the answer.
One trail led to a long, healthy life, one to a certain horrible death, one with her, one without. She could not distinguish which one matched with the other one.
Huh. Not helpful. Next. That's you ever take those multiple choice test and one of the answers is not enough information? Like that's the answer there.
Gawain walked across a floor of broken glass, the shards breaking at every step.
Does he get fall through some ice?
Bleeding, blood everywhere.
Yep. She stood before an immense wall trying to claw it at bare hands. It was not made of brick or stone, but countless thousands of discs. The Quinlier discs, the ancient symbol of Aes Sedai, the Dark One's prison shut. Some of the seals were broken now, even though the one power could never break Quinlier.
This is crazy.
So
the rest is were weakened somehow.
Is there a two power that we don't know about? I mean, if the one power can't do it, maybe it's the two power.
We know about another power. I mean, that's been talked about.
Yeah.
There's the dark one's power is separate from the one power.
Right. Yeah. I know.
The true power.
I'm being stupid.
So maybe the Aes Sedai are trying to tear down the White Towers. What I thought. Matt sat on a shrouded hilltop watching a grand illuminated display of fireworks.
Why does that keep reoccurring? Him and the Illuminators. It's like a reoccurring theme.
It's the Illuminati, bro. Oh my gosh. Wait, what movie is that from?
That's Katy Perry's firework music video.
Oh no. I'm thinking of something different. Wasn't it like the Spy Who Shagged Me? Spy Who Shagged Me.
Yep. Yeah, Austin Powers.
Came out, was like, bah, 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 bah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
But suddenly his hand shot up. He seized one of the bursting lights in the sky. Arrows flashed from his clenched fist. A sense of dread filled her. Men will die because of this. The world would change.
Matt's gonna become the bad guy. Weren't you saying that a long time ago? Yeah.
Matt's gonna really believe that, but another path. I think we might be led to believe that it's bad, but I think at the end of so many books, we'll recognize it as necessary.
Yeah,
I don't know.
She's strapped down on the block and Headsman's axe is descending on her. She could hear someone running towards her and knew if they ran fast enough, the axe would stop. That was another one.
Low gain
laughing, stepped across the ground in a mounted black stone. When she looked down, she thought it was Rand's body. He had stepped over, laid out on a funeral pyre, his hands crossed. But when she touched his face, it broke apart like a paper puppet. And then a golden hawk that was female reached out and touched her. The hawk was tied to her somehow. A man dying on a narrow bed, and it was important he did not die. Yet outside a funeral pyre was being built, and voices raised with joy and sadness.
That's Perrin.
And those were the visions.
Why can't it be Matt?
Because if Matt dies, all the shouts would be like, yay. I don't think
that man took all my money. Yay. Yeah.
I don't think there'd be a whole lot of people in the...
There's also a naked man there, kid. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Iris, for pointing out the naked man. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, what did the naked man do? Was it just random? Or was there action going on with the naked man?
I'm trying to read through real fast. I don't remember.
Obviously, three guys reading it. That's the one thing we skim past. Because you get into these. Like Chris said.
I was thinking, dude.
Like all of them, they don't make sense.
If you're a straight cis man, you learn this at a very young age. When you go to gym locker rooms, you just your eyes go right past. You don't stop. You don't dwell. It's just
there's an old naked guy with his balls hanging to the floor. That it was there.
There's always an old naked guy with his balls
hanging to the floor, just sitting there chatting with his friends.
He's got one foot up on the bench, so everything's just swinging around.
Hey, young man, come over and talk to me. Oh, no, dude, you're naked. This is how we do things around here.
This is what happens. We've been married 70 years.
Your locker's literally right behind him. You're like, oh, shit. I'll wait. I don't doubt that there was a naked man in there somewhere, but I do believe I skimmed past that.
None of these really make great sense right now. Like, I'm hoping that we get some clarity as we kind of get through it. But, like, so the goblin walking barefoot on, like, the glass with bleeding feet, I mean, kind of can allude to the fact that he'll do anything for her. So much so that it, like, is killing him. Because he is, like...
Or, like,
him softly.
He continues to be in positions of like conflicting loyalties where every step he takes, no matter which direction, is like very risky and like it could all come crashing down, sort of thing.
With his words, killing
Anyway, him on a horse with two paths, like clearly choosing Egwene's going to be the wrong direction for him because, I mean, she's Amarylin's seat now. She's not supposed to take a husband. And so it's just going to cause more heartache and headache for him. So let him go.
What about the golden? Is it a golden hawk or golden falcon?
Golden hawk.
Hawk.
That's got something to do with Shan-Chan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's connected to her because it's probably.
It's not the hawk that we've already talked about.
Well, Perrin's hawk. Yeah. Because he's got falcon and a hawk.
You know, the hawk is, right? We've already discussed this.
Like the Hulk?
I don't remember.
Barrelane.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
Yeah. Because their symbol of Milian is a golden hawk.
Is the golden hawk. Okay, well, maybe.
But Shan-Chan, it can be Shan-Chan too.
Why not? Let's let it be Shan-Chan.
And we already got a hint that there's way more to Barrelane than we thought. We saw her just being this floozy, showing her boobs and barely wearing anything. Come to find out, she's had her own Aes Sedai advise her for a long time. Mm-hmm. Why would Aes Sedai choose to advise such a menial position in like a little chunk of land unless there's something more to it? Like there's, right.
So yeah, okay. So maybe there's a whole army of other Aes Sedai sitting in Barrelane's court waiting for their true mother to come.
Barrelane could be another Forsaken.
She could be.
Maybe that's Semirag.
I don't know.
The torturer.
The cat agrees.
I am torturing him. He bit me, so.
Yeah, Semirag, the torturer.
Yes.
Bite him back.
Oscar Semirag, the torturer.
Yeah. Anywho, yeah, these prophetic dreams. Confusing, yeah. Interesting, but let's be honest. Y'all are sitting there going, what do you think, guys? Well, we're not supposed to think anything. Not enough information. We're confused. We're intrigued. We're confused.
Well, Gang stepping over Rand's body to mount a black stone. Hmm. Like Loghain taking over ownership of the Black Tower.
Hmm. Oh yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we already have one person kind of running the Black Tower in his stead. Why not Loghain hook up with Taim and then Loghain kind of take over that? We know Taim.
How bad would I feel if Taim is actually trying to do right by Rand this whole time and it's Loghain that shows up, fucks things up, kills Rand, Taim dies in the process trying to defend Rand, and then I'm like, oh, maybe Taim was a good dude. Was a good guy. Whoops. It's kind of hot in here. You get any gum?
Plot twist. It reminds me of the Always Sunny Philadelphia where they did M. Night Shyamalan. Like, plot twist. Anyway. Yeah, and that's how we end this chapter with a bunch of prophetic dreams. And she wakes up and we're done.
Yeah.
So by the way, this whole time, like I got my little cat's basket of toys that are the hidden toys. Mm-hmm. And my female cat has really been into this basket lately. I forgot I had a couple of catnip toys in there because they haven't been catnip crazy at all. So I pull out a banana that has catnip in it. And she has been all about this banana. It's kind of cute.
I'm a banana. I'm a banana pal.
She's half power. The size of the boy, and she punked him like flat out. This is my banana. I smacked the shit out of him.
Yeah. My banana. Do you ever get your cat's catnip yet?
Well, that's what's in the banana. Catnip.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
She's I think today was her day that she discovered catnip.
So we give we give our cat a for Christmas every year. It says coal on it. It's like a little black catnip pouches, and it says coal. So you just give my cat coal, and he loves it. He gets high. He just loves being a trippy kitty. Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah. So that's how we end this chapter. Any other thoughts?
I have to remember that we're at the very beginning of thick book.
We're getting into the thick of it now. It's still the build. I mean, Robert Jordan takes a long time to set up these books. Like once he gets in, it's like he has to recap everything, and it takes a lot of time and pages. And these are bridges. I mean, they're trying to build a plot for the book.
We could have talked more in tonight's first chapter about Egwene's growth as a leader. Yeah. It was difficult because while I can appreciate the growth she's been having, we as the reader already have more information than she does. So we're already seeing flaws in some of her thought processes. So it's kind of hard to give her that credit, although she should get that credit. I don't know. So we could have spent more time with that.
Sure.
There's definitely some development there.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, let's get to the action.
Yeah. So, yeah. Favorite character?
Chris's cat.
It's a good one.
Now, let me think.
I would have to say in chapter 9, the woman that had the gall to go and blackmail Egwene.
Nicola?
Well, no, not Nicola, but her partner was the one that really did the blackmail. Yeah.
The hunter for the horn.
The hunter. Yes.
Arena.
Yeah. Arena.
Yeah.
I gave it to her just because, you know, she really has no place here. They could send her on her way at any point in time.
This is true. Yeah.
Like, you're not an Aes Sedai, and you're not really doing us any favors, so, yeah.
Well, there is no time.
There's no time. Ian, favorite character?
I'm about to say Tamanis.
Nice. Yes.
Because it's not that I didn't like the characters we had tonight. It's just nothing. Chris took the only unique one.
I'll give it to Amis.
Yeah, that's a cool one. I will say Egwene. I don't think we did Egwene justice tonight. I think there was some growth here and development and some. Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Right, we didn't get into enough, and she definitely deserves.
We gave her kudos the last two episodes of our little gathering here. And now she's just getting repetitive and boring.
Right. And maybe that's why I hesitate, but I'll still throw it out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I need some ish to go down. Like, Mogetting and escaping, yeah, that is a big deal. Don't get me wrong. But nothing really came of it. She didn't attack anybody. She didn't get any payback. She hasn't had any. Like, that's what I'm waiting on. I know she's gone off to talk to the Dark One and get her next set of marching orders, but I need her to be vindictive.
All right.
I need her to come back with her vengeance.
Chris, I have a better question. For chapters like this, instead of who's your favorite character, in all of these scenes with the characters that we had, whose perspective and in what moment would you have rather have had? Whose head would you want to be in during what conversation? I have two, but I'm not going to say him.
Well,
head? Who said head?
I mean, I would love to have been in Mogetian's perspective, because then I'd have more knowledge.
But I mean, like, active in these chapters, of the conversations we had in these chapters.
Swan.
That was one of mine for sure. There was something about her reaction to, oh my gosh, Mogetian's loose, da-da-da-da, that was almost too collected. Is there? Yeah.
And then, I mean, if we go back to the last one, I really would have liked to have been in Shirium's.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I want to feel the oh shit moment. Like, damn, she figured it out. Oh, what am I going to do? How am I going to escape?
Yep.
Oh, she ran away at the last minute. Whew. Like, but then also, what does she know that she's not telling? What does that whole group know that they're not telling?
You know, there's got to be more.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're not even on the same page. So how can they think that they're going to be effective? I'll give Elida this much. She might be batshit, but she definitely has everybody singing the same tune.
Yeah, yep. So Swan was my one for sure. The other one, Amis.
Yeah.
Her perspective. But that's not just this chapter. It's in general, I just feel like the wise ones are holding back stuff that we just don't know about.
Oh,
so for sure. So that and like interaction with her and Egwene and the conversation, and like if we knew everything going on in any one of the wise ones' head at that time, that would have been awesome.
But I mean, we have some insight there. Like, they know that Rand knows a little bit more than he's letting on because they're in his direct circle. I mean,
and they ain't dumb. They pay attention.
Exactly. And I mean, Rand has already made a play to put Elaine in place, and they all know it, but Egwene doesn't realize it.
I got a third one.
At any point, just could say, hey, here's Rand's plan. Here's stuff that everybody already knows.
Yeah. No, they holding on to their cards. All right, my third one, it's a cheat code. What if we had the perspective of the Watcher in Teleron Riad?
Or Watchers.
Stanley, the Watcher.
Wouldn't it be cool if we get a Watcher chapter at some point? I mean, even if it's a couple books from now, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
In the shadows, I sit, watching, waiting. There she goes again. She comes every night, and I watch.
That's what she said.
Every night, every thousand years. I mean, how many times has the Watcher watched them play this game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next time on the Wheel of Reads, we're doing two chapters, just two chapters. An Oath, chapter 11, An Oath, and chapter 12, A Morning of Victory.
Ooh. Morning or morning?
Morning, like it's the morning time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That still doesn't... That could still be both mornings.
Okay, like the rooster crows in the morning. It's
there first you go.
Thing in the, yeah, first thing, yeah. First thing top of the morning to you.
So, I don't know. Let's see here. An oath. I mean, there are a lot of oaths that are all broken. So,
Talmanis is coming up in these chapters.
Talmanis chapter. Not gonna lie, we could have used him tonight. But a little cameo would have been good. An oath that could get more into Swan and Gareth Bryn. Oath, we can go to Perrin. Perrin's really trying to establish like what his boundaries are. So I'm not thinking oath to Ran, but maybe to himself, maybe between him and his wife.
It could just be conversations about multiple oaths. There's so many oaths going on. I mean, Swan has her oath. You know, the wise, the Aes Sedai in general have their oaths. We have an Amyrlin who doesn't have to give a shit about oaths because she's raised Aes Sedai without the rod, so her oaths mean nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Matt could stumble in a given one to somebody, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then a morning of victory. I mean, that means something happened at night, a real battle, and in the morning, like, there was a win. So maybe we finally get something good happening to our group.
Maybe they find the bowl.
That would be good.
Well, the chapter after that is called The Bowl of Winds, and now I'm giving away a little too much, but yeah, it's a chapter.
Oh, maybe they find the bowl. Hey.
maybe it's not. Or maybe they give up on the bowl and all come home.
I'm going to read and find out. Yay.
Yeah. Maybe they just give up on the bowl.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one positive about this 9-to-5 job that I got?
Oh, there is a positive. Go for it.
Ooh, what is it?
Tell me more. Tell me more.
What do they even have you doing at your 9-to-5 job?
Bro, we're not going to go there. As of right now, nothing.
Let's say cleaning toilets?
No. That ain't my job description. That's anyways. No, a lot of opportunity to listen to podcasts, listen to books on tape. Like while I'm working.
Yeah. How far are you in Warbreaker?
I'm like 24, 25.
Same.
Yeah. I was hoping to get to 30 and then go back and just do a quick listen through one more time, make sure I didn't miss anything like major.
Do you need it? It's so good.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
It sticks with
sometimes
you.
The transitions from one character to the next, it takes me a while to catch on that we've moved on to somebody else until they start throwing names around.
We'll do a whole show on this eventually.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, guys. This is Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time. Yeah, so how can we found? Actually, before that, how can we found? We'll do that. We found the wheelreads.com. It's our website. Go check it out. We got fantastic links there to all sorts of stuff like our social media. You can find all of that there. There are little icons you click on. You can also join Discord server, where we post memes and talk about the books and all sorts of things. I have lots of channels for lots of things. Also, support us. You can support us just by listening, but also through merchandise or Patreon. Patreon's a great way to support us. Love our patrons to death. We'd love to have more of you guys as part of that team. I know I said I wouldn't say it at the beginning of the episode, but since most people don't listen to these things at the very end until our sign off, I will say it now. So our next guest that's going to come on is Danny and Brett from the Will Weaves. So they will be on January 31st. So the Will Weaves and the Will Reads will have an episode together, finally.
It's about to go down.
If you say it fast enough, we're basically the same content.
Yeah.
Is that the one that we start later in the night?
Yeah, so it's gonna be a lot of fun.
We haven't had a patron on in a while.
Yeah, we need to do that too. It's on my list of things to add to invite patrons. The last few I've invited there had busy commitments, so I just skipped over them. We do need to go back to having some patrons on. It's on my list.
Those are always fun.
Yeah. Okay. Also, I'm going to start trying to invite some random people from like Twitter of time that like do character accounts and things like that. Try to get more people from the fandom. Just if they want to come on, let's have them on. So we'll start doing some of that too. But yeah, why not? Not trying to overload with guests. So, you know, we still kind of do it sporadically, but yeah, we did it for a while, a little bit, I think, too much. But anyway, yeah. So that's all I got for this week, guys.
Until next time.
Peace.
Okay, bye.
I hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.